have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 18. I want to talk to you this morning about missing pieces. And I didn't really plan it that way after when knowing Darla was going to resign, but when, after that first service, I'm like, that's not a good title for today, but having missing pieces. But the truth is that if we are honest with ourselves, if we're not careful, we will find that there will be missing pieces in our life. I heard a story about a girl, and she wasn't real, I mean, like, really smart. And she wasn't very smart at all, actually. And she called her boyfriend up, and she's like, I just need you to come over here because I'm putting a puzzle together. And I can't seem to really even get started with it. And he said, well, what's the picture? She said, it's a picture of a tiger. And she said, I need some help. And so he went over there and he looked at the pieces and everything, and he decided, and he looked up at her, and he said, I just need to tell you that we're probably not going to be able to put this puzzle together. And she looked very disappointed, and she says, well, why? And he says, well, first of all, if you'll just put these Frosted Flakes back in the box, I'll tell you what the problem is. That's a problem. That is a problem. Have you ever worked on a puzzle and you was putting all this puzzle together, but only to find out toward the end of the puzzle that there were some pieces missing? It's kind of aggravating to put it all together and then to have those pieces missing. But here's what happens a lot of times in our lives if we're not careful. We wait till we get older and we realize that the older we get and the more we know, we realize that we really didn't know as much as we thought we knew when we were younger. So that's a message for the younger people. You can interpret that. Knowledge of God's word and doctrine is an important part of Christian growth and maturity. In Acts chapter 18, it talks about a man who had a heart for God, but he was weak with his information. He had a heart for God, but he was weak with his information. Here it is in verse 24 of chapter 18. It says, a man named Apollos came to Ephesus, and he was a Jew born in Alexandria, Egypt, and a terrific speaker. Eloquent and powerful. I'm reading out of the Message Bible, and you can read it in your Bible and follow along anyway as best you can. Eloquent and powerful in his preaching of the scripture, he was well educated in the way of the master and fiery in his enthusiasm. Everybody likes that. Apollos was accurate in everything he taught about Jesus up to a point. He was accurate in everything that he taught about Jesus up to a point. But, everybody say, but. That changes everything. But he only went as far as the baptism of John. He preached with power in the meeting place. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside. This is, Priscilla was the pastor of the church there. And Aquila was her husband. And when they heard him, they took him aside and told him the rest of the story. Hey, Apollos, come over here. We got to talk. You know, not everybody appreciates correction. Not everybody appreciates somebody coming up to them and saying, hey, we need to talk. So here's what happened. In verse 27, it doesn't say, listen, it doesn't say how Apollos reacted to the correction. But this is what it does say. It says, when Apollos decided to go to Achaia province, his Ephesian friends gave him their blessing and wrote a letter of recommendation for him, urging the disciples to welcome him with open hearts. Apparently, he was one of those guys that when he got corrected, he just took the correction and moved on with it. The welcome paid off. Apollos turned out to be a great help to those who had become believers through God's immense generosity. He was particularly effective in public debate with the Jews as he brought out proof after convincing proof from the scriptures that Jesus was, in fact, God's Messiah, a message that the Jews needed to hear, but it's also a message that the world has heard because of a man named Paul and a pastor Priscilla and Aquila and also Apollos, who was a teachable individual. Apollos had been baptized by John and knew enough to teach accurately, but incompletely. It's one thing to be accurate with your message, but it's another thing to bring a completeness to the message. It's not enough to know some of the word. We must know all of the word. When I was rodeoing years and years ago, I had fallen on hard times. Imagine that, rodeoing. I was single and I'd fallen on hard times and I didn't have a calf roping horse. And so I went and bought a Volkswagen diesel, one of those little bitty things that gets 40 miles to the gallon. And it was a diesel. And I mean, this thing, you just go, go, go. And the problem was that it had five gears, but the fifth gear went out on me. It wouldn't go into fifth gear anymore. So me being the mechanic I am, I decided we didn't need five gears. It was amazing to me how you could wrap that thing, that diesel engine, is just like, I mean, when you start going faster than it was meant to go, it still went. But it was very uncomfortable because it wasn't designed just to be driven in fourth gear. My problem was I didn't care. Everybody say incomplete. Incomplete. So Apollos, his Jewish background, he was fluent in the Old Testament morals. He was really good. He was really good at what he was really good at. And if you're really good at something, you can kind of get by with a lot of things that you're not really good at because you just keep doing the things that you're good at. Some true teachers of the word, they don't have a full range of knowledge, but they are still right about what they know about the gospel. That's why we have the Lone Star School right here, where we bring up, if you're called to ministry, we have a school for you where we can help you to pursue ministry in your life, to bring you the full counsel of the Word of God. We must have a healthy general understanding of the entire Bible, but not just that, but it must be in context as well. Too many times we take the scripture out of context and then we build another religion on it. God wants us to have the scripture in its fullness and in context. Priscilla and Aquila brought him up to speed because he was humble and he was teachable. Notice the evidence of the Spirit in his life. He never is said to have the Pentecostal experience. It doesn't even talk about that. You remember the book of Acts is all about the church. The church was birthed in the book of Acts. After Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, I'll send you a comforter, and he will be with you always, and he will teach you all things that you're willing to learn. He was a devout Jewish believer, tended to be ready for leadership quickly. He was a quick learner. I mean, this guy was sharp. He was sharp. Some people tend to lean more on their gifts than they do on their Holy, on the Holy Spirit. They tend to lean more on the gifts that they were born with than the gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to develop in them. He became an evangelist in the synagogue, in the church in Corinth and Achaia. So what about it when people don't know? What is it when people don't know what they don't know? Because if they don't know what they don't know, they will never really be open to what they don't know, because they just don't know. It's one thing to know that you don't know, but it's a whole new thing when you don't care what you don't know. So here it is, Acts chapter 19, verse 1. It says, "Now it happened while Apollos was away in Corinth, Paul made his way down through the mountains, came to Ephesus, and happened on some disciples there. The first thing he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only, or did you also embrace him with his heart? Did he get inside of you? We've never heard of that, a Holy Spirit, God within us,' they said. 'How were you baptized then?' Paul asked. And they said, 'In John's baptism.' And Paul said, 'That explains. John preached a baptism of radical life change so that people would be ready to receive the one coming after him, who turned out to be Jesus. And if you have been baptized in John's baptism, you are ready for the real thing, and that's Jesus.' And as soon as they heard of it, they were baptized in the name of the Master Jesus. Paul put his hands on their heads, and the Holy Spirit entered them. From that moment on, they were praising God in tongues and talking about God's actions all together. There were about 12 there that day." These verses with Apollos and these 12 disciples, they're meant to be compared. Both were disciples of John, the ones who have incomplete information and the ones who don't know what they don't know. Apollos didn't have all of the information, and the disciples didn't know what they didn't know. Both had a lack of information. Only the latter group would need to believe and be baptized and receive the Spirit. Now listen to this. The word disciple means a learner, and in the Bible is much broader than the term believer. So we have a dichotomy here of those who are the believers, and then we have the disciples who are the learners. And this is translated into our culture today as well, because many times we have people who are believers, but are they learners, or have they just kind of got hung up in a spot in their relationship with God, and they're not really moving forward, but they're not moving backwards, but they're just kind of, well, we kind of put it this way. They've accepted Christ as their personal Savior. They're on their way to heaven. My Sunday school teacher, when I was a junior in junior high, he told me that, "You realize that when we Christians get to heaven, that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be judged for what we have done in this body." Y'all with me? So my Sunday school teacher tells me there's going to be a lot of people in heaven running around, because it says that we will receive a crown according to the work that we've done here. And we're not saved by work, but we are saved by grace, but we are rewarded for the work that we do here. To make sense. So my Sunday school class teacher, he said, there's going to be a lot of people running around heaven with crowns that look like coat hangers. That always stuck in my mind. Because yes, they believed, but were they disciples?
Were they learners? Were they teachable? Or was there a piece missing? And they didn't really care about it. They're just like, we're just gonna cruise through life here because we have our fire insurance, if you will. And we're not gonna go to hell for sure, but it might get a little hot, but we're gonna make it to heaven. See, these, it includes seekers of anyone willing to study, in this case about Jesus. We must be able to identify missing pieces in our lives. The Acts of the Apostles, the Jewish individuals were on the fringes because they had the Old Testament. They were on the fringes of Christianity. So most people on the fringes of Christianity have no idea of their, pardon my use here of words, but they have no idea of their ignorance because they don't know. And in the psychology world, they call this the Dunning-Kruger effect, and explains it. This effect is a function of human arrogance. Contrast the self-doubt expressed by people with true abilities and the cockiness and arrogance of incompetent people. So we have the people who they have doubt in themselves, but they have true abilities inside of them. But then there's the cocky, arrogant people who have this same ignorance, but they don't really care. I would say, if I could just let you into my world, I hate to admit it, but I realize that I just operate every Sunday morning when I get up to preach. It's like, I don't have anything left in me when I get done. It's like I give everything I got, and like it is what it is. Now, I wish I was like some of them preachers that don't really need notes. I'm like, wouldn't that be sweet? If I could just roll off all that. T.D. Jakes, I'm just like, how does he get at it? How does that happen? That's just not fair. It just rolls off of him, and he's just so eloquent, and everything is just like, and then I'm like, that's just not fair. But I'm not T.D. Jakes. And T.D. Jakes isn't Randy Weaver. So God makes all of us. You are who you are, and God made you specifically the way you are for a purpose and for a reason. And when you realize that, then you grow what you have because you're willing to learn what he has given you. Then you develop, and you are at peace and fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And you take a deep breath, and it is what it is, but you continue to learn because you value being a disciple of Christ and not just a believer. Those who doubt their abilities are open to learning and improving, while people who are certain they already know it all are not open to learning anything. As both Jews and disciples of John, they would have heard the Holy Spirit, but not that the Holy Spirit was to be received and experienced. You see, I find it interesting in our culture today that we, have you ever used this term? I will never do. See, I was raised in this Pentecostal experience where I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We believe, just as Paul has said here, that the Holy Spirit baptism, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, that's a gift for the church. He said that it's a gift for you,
for your children, for your children's children, and for people who are far off. And I interpret that to be Montgomery, Texas, and whoever else is watching, wherever you're at this morning. That the gift is for you. But we say, because we don't understand, we say, I would never, that ain't me. And then what we do, why wouldn't we say, God, if you have that gift for me, give me that gift. Because if it is of God, should we want it? If it's not of God, and see, a lot of people don't believe it is of God because they're uncomfortable. It makes them uncomfortable. But let me tell you something. Let me let you in on a little secret. God is not about your comfort. It's not about you being comfortable with what he said. Because if it's the truth, should we believe it or should we say, not me. So if it is of God, but see, people use this verse. They says, it says that there will come a time when tongues will cease. But in that same verse, it says there will come a time when knowledge will cease. But they use the tongue deal that it'll cease because they're uncomfortable with it. When actually they're talking about when we get to heaven, we won't need knowledge and we won't need tongues because we'll have a perfect body. Everything will be fine then, but we need all the help. I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. It says when we pray in the Spirit, we pray in the perfect will of God, and we are edified. In other words, we are built up in our most holy faith. You are built up. And I don't know anybody in our world today that doesn't need to be built up spiritually. We're really big on getting built up financially. We're big on getting built up physically. Physically, but we really need to be built up spiritually. So God help us to understand that we are not just believers, we're disciples of Christ. I had an electrical problem at my house this week. One of my electrical sockets isn't working, and there's another sitting right next to it, and there's a default switch on them. And you all know what that, you push that default and it's like, it clicks it back on, but the default clicks on when there is a overload of power. We got too many default switches going on here. We need God to come and push that button and say, I gotta have all the power you have for me, and I don't want that default switch going off anymore. Let's just get a direct line to the power of God. We need that. I need that. You need that. Why situations and circumstances require the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. The word can only shine perpetually in our life if there is a connection to perpetual power. When there is a surge and we cut it off and we say, that's enough, there's a piece missing. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is I need everything. My name's Randy Weaver. I need all the help I can get. And I want everything that God has for me. Y'all just figure that out, what God has for you, then jump in the middle of, I just double dog dare you. So the Acts, the apostles, the laying on of hands, transitions between the old covenant and the new covenant, making the point that there is one universal anointed church, and the church is going forward, and the church that God has put together will survive through the COVID. It's going to happen. God's going to do what God's going to do, and we just got to make up our mind. We're just going to be a part of it. I don't want to get left out on any of that stuff God has for me. So tongues was a visible sign of an invisible spirit, just like baptism is a visible sign of an invisible conversion of the heart. In Acts, tongues are defined as real heavenly languages. There is no consistent pattern in Acts. However, in Acts chapter 10, the next chapter over, verse 44, says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because, listen to this, stay with me, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Everybody say, I'm a Gentile. we're not like that. Well, you might be a Jew. I don't know. But Jesus loves us all. The point is that the Holy Spirit was poured out on not just the chosen people, which is the Jewish nation. It was opened up to anybody that would be a believer and a disciple. So up until that point in Acts, there was what we call, in our world, we would call discrimination against the Gentiles. They had to deal with it too, just like we have to deal with it here. Discrimination is always going to happen in our world today, but you don't have to be a part of it. Because God's not into discrimination. I keep preaching about that, but I just feel compelled to do that. We must be learning sponges in contrast to having a stubborn heart. In verse 5 and 7, it says, and they were, as soon as they heard of it, they were baptized in the name of the Master Jesus. Paul put his hands on their heads, and the Holy Spirit entered them. From that moment on, they were praising God in tongues and talking about God's actions. Altogether, there were about 12 people there that day. Let me tell you something. Your circle of people that you hang out with will determine your success, your spiritual success in life. You pretty much are many times who you run with. Had a guy a long time ago. He said he felt like he should have a ministry to the bar. It wasn't until a couple months later, I was like, what's his name? He said, quit coming to church. Did he start a church in the bar? No, which that would be fine. We've done that. I've had church in a bar before. I could tell you some stories in my life. But God will show up in the bar too. But don't be going to the bar and thinking you're going to have a ministry in a bar if you're an alcoholic. Because you're kind of going to be who you run with. I had this whole message. Years ago, I had a pickup that had a stick shift. And they don't make stick shifts that much anymore. I'm not even sure. I think you got a special order them. But back in the day, we would have what you call a double clutch. You double clutch when you were shifting gears. Some of you truck drivers out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you shift gears, you take it out of one gear and you put it in. You put the clutch in for one gear, and then when you put it in neutral, you put the clutch off, and then you put it back on when you go into the next gear. And what that does, it just makes the transition a lot smoother. And then if you want to downshift, like if you're going down a hill, you can downshift, double clutch and downshift, and it'll keep you safe going down the hill because the weight in your vehicle will take you down the hill faster than you really need to go. But there's always neutral. There always has to be a foundation in your life. Anytime you switch gears in life, you got to go back to neutral. And you see, in everything we do, there's a foundation in the Word of God that we should never lose track of. And we should have that ingrained into our mind that Jesus was born of a virgin birth, that he lived on earth, that he died on the cross that we might have eternal life, that he gave us a mission to baptize and to make disciples of all people, that he ascended into the heavens and that he's going to come back for a church that is ready for him, that heaven is a place to gain, hell is a place not to shun, and that he has prepared a place for those who love him. There's a lot of foundation. There's a lot of neutral. So I don't, whether you're double clutching or not, don't ever forget this foundation that God's put. If you want to go someplace and you want to go fast or slow, you still need the foundation. Yeah. Without all the information in the foundation, there will be missing pieces. But there's also a lot more super neat things in there if you'll go beyond that one area of neutral and begin to shift gears and go a little faster than you're accustomed to. Then slow down when you need to. Cruise control is not always the best thing for you. Apollos was humble and he was teachable. And in order for the Holy Spirit to teach us all things, those are two attributes that are really non-negotiable in the kingdom of God. Have you ever, every once in a while I get an invitation to a birthday party. And in that invitation, it says, please don't bring any, no gifts. Let me just say this to you right now, that if I ever have, if I ever invite you to a birthday party of mine, that won't be on there. I promise you. Mm-mm. My name's Randy Weaver. I love gifts. Not ashamed to say it. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. I want everything that God has for me. So, at the risk of bringing this up too often, a month ago, when I cut my thumb off, it was very, very painful. Well, now, as you can see, my thumb is healed up. Not really. It looks like it's healed up on the outside. But something's happening on the inside that I don't want to talk about. I look like I'm healed, and I look good on the outside. Kind of good. Not real good. Kind of good. Something's missing, but I'm still, it looks like it's healed up. So I went, had a doctor's appointment a week and a half ago, and the surgeon told me, he said that there, those nerves that got cut off are still alive. And so anytime I touch anything really, it's just like this. And those nerves, they don't understand that thumb isn't there. And what they do, they've got to learn to translate this information to my brain that it's okay and it's not, we're okay now. But my nerves in that thumb on the inside
keeps screaming to me. And he said, you need to go to therapy. I said, what will they do for me at therapy? He said, well, they'll put your thumb on the table and they'll run your thumb across that table and it'll stimulate those nerves. But they tell your brain that there's still a thumb there and they've just gotta be shut down. So I started roping a week and a half ago. I'm like, it's already healed up on the outside, and there's a problem on the inside. And my inside keeps telling me, Randy, don't do that. You stop it. And I got to make up my mind whether I'm going to let that little thing in there tell me what to do or whether I'm going to tell that little thing in there what to do. And I decided that I'm not going to let this pain define me. I'm not going to let this pain in my life tell me what to do. I'm going to go on with my life because this is not who I am. And it's not going to tell me. And so here's what's crazy. You go over there, and some of y'all might think this. I go over there when I had my thumb and went to the doctor's. And the doctors go, well, how'd you cut them other two fingers off? I said, roping. And you can't believe how they looked at me. They're like, you're an idiot. I mean, they didn't say it because they're doctors, but they're like, you could read their mind. So here's what's crazy. I know what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. And I'm not going to let somebody else that thinks that they know what's better for me to stop me from doing what I was born and bred and destined, have a DNA inside of me to do. As long as I can get on a horse, I'm going to rope. Yeah. It's who I am. I'm going to keep preaching as long as there's somebody listening. It's just who I am. Like, don't let any missing pieces keep you from your destiny. Listen, there's everybody in our world has pain. There's been a lot more pain this past year in a lot of different ways, and I'm not minimizing that. But what I'm saying is, please don't let the pain in your life define you. Don't let it keep you from being a follower of Christ. Don't let your friends that badger you about going to church in the middle of the COVID. Don't let them define you. You do what you know God's told you to do. And don't back off from that. Be a disciple, not just a believer. Be a disciple. Lord, help us, Lord, this morning, I pray, minister your word to us. As we walk away from here, Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd just fill us up, oh God, and teach us all things and help us to be humble and teachable, Lord. And Lord, in them areas where we may have just put ourselves on cruise control, that we would just humble ourselves and let you teach us so that we could grow in you and be stronger and bigger and better. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, here's the truth. The Bible says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. Just because I'm a preacher doesn't mean that I haven't sinned or that I don't sin. What that means is that when I do sin, that I run to God because He is my Lord and my Savior, and I need more help. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, Jesus said these terms. He said, you must be born again. And what that means is that you must be born spiritually. You've already been born physically, but in order to inherit the kingdom of God, the first step in becoming a disciple of Christ is accepting Him as your personal Savior. If you intend to make heaven your home, you must receive Christ as your personal Savior, because that is the foundation
that God himself made for us, because he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So this morning, if you've never accepted him, or maybe if you haven't, you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Preacher, that's me. Slip your hand up high. Anybody? Anybody? Oh, wait just a second. Anybody? Anybody? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Is there somebody over here? I can't see everybody. Slip your hand up high. Anybody, preacher, that's me. Let's see, if you raise your hand, you mind looking up at me? Would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? I'd be honored. You can bring your mom or dad if you want. You want to come up? Come on, buddy. Yeah, there you go. Bring your big sister. That's good. I like it. I'm so proud of you. Tell me what your name is.
Todd.
Todd, you're a good man. Let me shake that hand. I got a bad paw. You want to ask Jesus to come into your heart today? You want to ask him, invite him to come into your heart? I'd be happy to help you. Look here. How are you? Mary, bless your heart. Stay right here. I want
to
pray with you. Tim, bless your heart, buddy. I didn't see you back there. Proud of you guys. Okay, here's what the Bible says. It says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. It doesn't mean you'll be perfect. Y'all listen to me. It's not like you're going to be perfect, but Jesus said he'd never leave you or forsake you, and he'll help you through your problems. Doesn't mean you won't have problems, but he'll help you through them. So I want to help you pray, okay? Y'all just repeat after me. Y'all help us pray. Just say,
Dear Lord Jesus,
thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. Invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love you guys so much. Y'all keep showing up now. Go visit these guys over here for just a second, if you don't mind. Thank you. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to give a shout out to all of our friends in Tennessee watching. We got a little satellite church in Tennessee. And if somebody come down, congratulations there. And we appreciate y'all. And our friends from Corpus Christi, where y'all at? Yeah, right there. Bless y'all. Thanks for coming. The challenge that I have for you this morning is, there's an old racehorse term. I was a chaplain at Sam Houston Race Park for 6 years. And there's an old racehorse term, and it's in the Bible. And Paul was talking about church people, but it said, who cut in on you? And in a horse race, sometimes that horse will bolt out of that gate, and he'll foul the horse next to him, and it'll mess up his race. So a horse that could have won the race, he wouldn't win the race because somebody cut in on him. I got a feeling there's some people here today you've been cut in on.
That's right.
And it's kind of stifled you a little bit in your race. But today, it's a new day. And I'll tell you, the devil, he'll bring up all that past. Because he knows we can't do anything about our past. But we just got to get comfortable with that. Because we can do something about our future. And we can do something today about today. So how many say, preacher, I've kind of been coasting with my walk with God. And I really need to be a learner and a better disciple of Christ? Raise your hand. Amen. I love you guys. We're all there, really. We can all do, can we not all do better, really? So let's all raise our hands and surrender to God. Lord, you see our hands. We are a needy people. We're a people who welcomes gifts of the Holy Spirit. We are a people who need for you to fill in all the pieces. We are a people who need not to listen to those parts of our body or our life that cuts us off from you. And we need to move on. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, yeah. I love you guys. Hey, listen. We're going to have church next Sunday, 10, 11:30. And somebody's going to have to go to that 11:30 service because this one's getting pretty full. I love y'all. God bless you.